escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of July. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It's shaping up to be a record-breaking holiday weekend for travelers this year. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first, the big government jobs report for June was released this morning, a day early because of the 4th of July falling on a Friday this year. It shows the economy added 147,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate now at 4.1%. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And 147,000, this is a beat on two fronts. One, analysts were anticipating about 110,000. That was their estimate going into this morning. But even more so, it's a very encouraging number after we saw the traction in the labor market in the private payroll report yesterday.
That's right. The ADP report showed that private sector employment actually fell in June. This report is more comprehensive. That being said, about half of the job growth that we saw in June, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, came from government. So the private sector only added 74,000 jobs in June. That's a soft number, and it's unlikely that those government job numbers can hold up going forward. So I think we are starting to see some softer job growth.
Now, this is going back to 2022, when the tightening cycle began, when Fed Chair Jerome Powell began engineering that soft landing from the very high inflation we saw last year. Is this the predicted outcome? Is this what the policymakers want to see?
That's right. I think job growth of around 150,000 per month, an unemployment rate that is, you know, somewhere 4.25%. I think that's where the Fed wants the job market to be. The question is, do we see job growth stabilize at this point, or do we see a further slowing in job growth, or maybe even job losses and a higher unemployment rate, in which case the labor market would be too soft, and then the Fed would probably need to start cutting rates again.
Now, Gus, you and I spoke at 10:20 this morning to recap the jobs report, and there are some demographic considerations to think about going forward, especially the break between how immigration enforcement, as we're seeing it right now, how that could potentially impact the jobs report going forward.
That's right. We did saw a decline in what we call the labor force, which is the number of people working or looking for work. Some of that is due to the aging population. I also think that it's been soft in 2025. I think some of that is due to increased enforcement of immigration laws. And so immigration has been a key source of labor force growth, of job growth since the pandemic. So if we have fewer immigrants in the U.S. economy, then that means that job growth is going to be weaker. Labor force growth is going to be weaker, and that does mean slower economic growth over the longer run.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up, a look at the record-breaking Independence Day travel surge with millions hitting the roads and the skies this year.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Analysts are predicting a record-breaking 4th of July travel this year. Joining us to discuss is Joe Sweeterman, Professor of Public Services and Director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. A record 72.2 million Americans are expected to travel for the 4th of July weekend. United Airlines and American seeing a year-over-year increase in bookings, but international airfares are down 13% compared to last year. So, Joe, as far as prevailing business conditions are concerned, will this summer represent a high watermark, or does the traveling public still have room to run?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be quite a holiday. I mean, a couple of things are happening. One, the airlines are announcing traffic numbers that are higher than what AAA expected. So we are seeing a little bit of a boost on the air travel. And you know, like you say, the airfares are lower both domestically and internationally. So it's a mixed bag for airlines profit-wise. They're nervous about this year, but I think overall 4th of July is proving to be pretty robust time for them, and highway travel is up too.
And especially on the airline industry side of things, and I want to get your perspective on this, because airline and air travel is more accessible to more people than at any other time in the history of commercial aviation, it seems, Joe, that if you were flying somewhere 30 or 40 years ago, you had the means to do so. But discount carriers, and I would imagine online fare comparison tools, have created downward pressures on fares, and that has made flying accessible to more people, regardless of their economic circumstances.
Oh, it sure has. We're just seeing that continue post-pandemic. Our airlines are shifting to the bigger planes, which can lower those seat costs. And they're also allowing more, you know, you say last-minute discounting. It used to be 20, 30 years ago, if you didn't book in advance and stay over Saturday night, you're paying high fares. Now people have just a lot of freedom to go when they want to go. And so we're seeing trip distances go up. So a lot of longer distance trips. Mexico is popular. Europe is softening a bit, but it really is an exciting time for air travel.
Operationally speaking, we've had some notable meltdowns in previous high demand periods. Of course, there was Southwest and their problems at the end of 2022 going into 2023. You had the CrowdStrike outages last summer. Have the airlines addressed a lot of those issues, including some of the older technology that was exposed after previous service meltdowns?
Yeah, you know, we have seen that these redundant systems weren't quite as redundant as you might say, because we did have these meltdowns, the computer outages in Southwest and so forth. And one, a couple of things that have happened. One, the labor shortages is mostly behind us, so they're able to have extra crews on hand and even extra aircraft now. So they learned the hard way, and Congress, you know, was circling about possible, substantial consumer rights legislation would force airlines to pay people for late and canceled flights. Trying to stave that off, they've really got their act together to avoid those meltdowns. But there's always something new to worry about.
And on that measure, Joe, earlier this year, of course, you had that fatal accident at outside of Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. that probably shed some light on air traffic controller staffing at some fairly busy airports. There was that whole situation at Newark Airport. Has that largely been addressed, or is this something that has just simply faded from the headlines because other stuff is going on?
Well, it has gotten a little better, and we did see the administration has made a priority to deal with the short-term pain we saw at Newark and some other airports that just went on way too long, you know, understaffing and then runway closings that were not as fast as they should have been for repairs. So that's being fixed. But we still have this, you know, it is still the weak link, you might say, in the system with all these retirements coming up and air travel surging. They're pretty maxed in the control tower. You know, right now things are okay, but it's a bit scary with shortages.
We have thousands, tens of thousands of flights that are crisscrossing the country at any given moment. And yet when there is a maintenance issue, that's the one thing everybody thinks about. And that we're talking about the plug door situation on the Alaska Airlines flight earlier at the beginning of last year, at the beginning of 2024. But now you were learning more about this Air India crash that took place several weeks ago. And now this situation with the 737 in Japan that dropped to 10,000 feet. How should the traveling public assess maintenance issues on airplanes, even though tens of thousands take off and land without incident each day?
Yeah, you know, the overall safety statistics are really remarkable, but it has been just a trying time, especially for Boeing with the last couple incidents and the terrible accident in India. I can say that FAA is really studying their India accident to see what it is. But for the most part, people can feel confident that what we're seeing now, really world, we call them the big three, Europe, U.S., and Asia Pacific, have such high safety standards that, the numbers we're seeing of accidents are just impressively low. But boy, for Boeing, there's always a skeleton in the closet to worry about, and an Air India accident has caused a new one.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a look at what the time-tested Dow theory says about the direction of stocks going forward.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The time-tested Dow theory is still bearish despite recent highs in the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, but one of its key leading indicators, the transportation index, has lagged and needs to cover some ground before the investment strategy turns bullish. Joining us to explain is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com based in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. You know, I was thinking about you, Chuck, just a couple of days ago when we were talking about all of these fresh records set in the three major indices. And I was wondering if the Dow theory was still flashing a bearish signal. And that may seem counterintuitive, but according to the Dow theory, it is.
It is. The last major signal under the Dow theory was bearish. It was on March 10th. And then we had the market decline really precipitously into April, which turned out to be a pretty good buying opportunity, which we did. And then we've had this robust rally that has taken the S&P 500 to new all-time highs in the NASDAQ. But we still haven't gotten there with most importantly, the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which is perhaps the most economically sensitive index there is in the world. It still has work to go. It needs to get well above 17,000 for really an all clear in the market. So because of that, we're still holding a bit of cash out of the market. We're probably around 83% invested right now. So we do have some dry powder, and we do anticipate we'll be able to put that powder to work here at some better prices. This market is due for a bit of a pullback here, and we'll have some, and Dow, people who follow the Dow theory will have some powder to put to work on that pullback.
The Dow Transportation Index, as you say, is extremely economically sensitive. And of course, you can understand why, because it's the trains and the trucks that carry all of the goods that are manufactured. So if investors think the prospects for growth in the transportation sector, they're not exactly if they're pessimistic about it, or at least cautious, then there are some yellow lights for the economy. But is it a leading indicator or a lagging indicator?
No, it tends to be the kind of the canary in the coal mine, quite frankly. So it has more of a leading indicator aspect. And, it could be one of those things where, you know, the market cap weighted indices have really been driven by, again, this rebirth in the tech stocks, Magnificent Seven and so forth. And there has been a bit of a broadening. But when you look at kind of an equal weighted S&P 500, I believe that's still below its all time high. So, you know, the transports are providing an indication that not everything is all built for growth right now. And, in terms of markets that really have sustainability to the upside in a broad way, you really need the transports to help on that regard. And they need to pick up the pace here if that's going to be the case.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com in Hammond, Indiana. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on Technology Thursday, a major grocery chain is aiming to revolutionize the shopping experience with smart carts that scan, track, and skip checkout lines.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Financial markets just wrapped up a shortened day of trading. They'll be closed tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst at Baird in Louisville, Kentucky. Ross, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like it's a shortened trading day, so just the right amount of time, Ross, to be exuberant about the jobs report for the month of June that beat analysts' expectations.
Yeah, we didn't give investors enough time to overthink it today, but it was a good report, particularly on the heels of a report yesterday that showed from private company ADP that showed we lost jobs in June. So it was a nice bounce back and some data confirming that the job market, you know, while it has cooled a bit, is still in a good enough place. And that's huge for an economy that's driven by consumer spending.
That ADP number that showed contraction yesterday, did that in the end provide a little bit of a psychological boost to investors when trading began this morning?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at stocks or really anything in life, it's all about expectations. And I think that yesterday's ADP report kind of pulled the expectations or pulled the bar lower for what today's report could look like. And then a clear beat, obviously, the market like that. It probably takes the Fed, takes a rate cut off the table for July, but I don't think that's primarily what investors are worried about. They're just happy that people are working and are going to continue to be able to spend.
This is as good a time as any, Ross, to kind of look back on the first half of the year and make some predictions about how 2025 is going to wrap up. And I said to another guest earlier this week that if you fell asleep on January 1st and woke up on July 1st and saw, you know, record-setting figures for the S&P 500, you wouldn't be surprised, because the markets were on a real nice run going into the year on expectations of tax cut legislation and maybe a lighter regulatory touch. But this hypothetical person who slept the first half of the year, Ross, missed all the tariff stuff. And it seems like after all the tariff posturing has been taken off the table, that the markets just returned to their trend.
Yeah, I think we'd all probably be better off if we checked our statements and our accounts a little bit less often and were more like the person who slept for 6 straight months there. But yeah, obviously the tariff stuff caused a big sell-off. The administration has pulled back on that rhetoric a bit, although, you know, tariffs are still at levels we haven't seen in some time. But the market is back to focusing on what it wants to focus on, which is record corporate profits. Again, a Federal Reserve that is cutting rates, albeit slowly, and a consumer and labor market that are pretty resilient here. Not to mention, really nice strength from abroad, you know, the global markets and other countries starting to pick up some slack. So it's a really nice story and a lot of momentum heading into the second half of the year.
And speaking of the second half of the year, how can we what can we expect out of equities July through December? What are some of the reasons for optimism? What are some of the reasons for pessimism?
Yeah, well, on optimism, I would say, you know, we talk to a lot of our clients, and there's often some anxiety with the market making new all-time highs because it feels like you're kind of at the top of a mountain. There's nowhere to go but down. But the reality is that new all-time highs are a bullish indicator, and all of this momentum and participation in the market, big tech stocks working, financials, other sectors working, is very bullish over the next 6 to 12 months. So there's a lot of optimism and a lot to like about the rally off the April lows. You know, if you're looking for reasons for pessimism, I do think that you could look to the tariff stuff and say, we're not out of the woods there yet. We have this July 9th date that's looming, but there is a lot of tariff and trade stuff yet to be worked out. And a lot of the ramifications of this reorienting of global trade will take some time to fully play out. So we'll see what companies have to say about how they're managing this over their earnings calls. But I would say the tariff stuff, it's a little too early to say we're fully out of the woods there.
Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst at Baird in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next on Technology Thursday, a supermarket chain rolls out smart carts that some say could be an industry game changer.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. East Coast supermarket chain Wegmans is rolling out smart shopping carts, enabling its customers to track spending, scan items, and skip checkout lines, offering a faster, smarter, and more convenient grocery shopping experience. Joining us to discuss is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And for those of you who are not in the know, Wegmans is a very big deal in Western New York, and a lot of their ideas are then adopted by the rest of the grocery store space. I mean, I remember going, Paul, into a Wegmans just outside of Rochester, New York, about 22 years ago. And it was above and beyond any other grocery store I'd ever seen in my life. And it had the restaurant. It had two levels. It had all sorts of different stuff that's now industry standard in every grocery store in America. So, Paul, if Wegmans is testing this out, chances are you're going to see a smart cart in your local grocery store in the next couple of years.
Well, I think, you know what, Wegmans has always had their finger on the pulse of shopping habits, that's for sure. And you're right. When you go into a Wegmans, and I have no horse in this race, as they say, but when you go into a Wegmans, as you did, it is startlingly different than the factory, basically, that you're presented with when you go into some of the larger chains like Kroger's and Smith's and so on. Nothing against those guys. They're about efficiency, but Wegmans innovates. And, you know, by the way, Newsweek ranked them number one in grocery stores in the last 3 years. Or number two in 24. But the point is that they're way up there, and that's one of the reasons. But this innovation, the idea of a smart cart that essentially senses what you put in it. And it's not just, you know, which product, but in the case of, say, vegetables and so forth, there's something that weighs the vegetable. There's every step that you would take at the cashier in some would be taken care of in the cart itself. So by the time you're done shopping, you just leave. Now, this is not a unique idea. Amazon tried it. It's called Amazon Go. But Amazon has had to scale it back because of some of the challenges. Wegmans is going to see if they can get around that.
And I think one of the challenges with Amazon Go, because there's an Amazon Fresh location in this building in Prudential Plaza, and I'm sure there are a number of them in train stations and all throughout Chicagoland. But the problem was they still scan the item as you're leaving. So if everything is in the cart, it's just a much smaller container for the device, however it determines weight and size and price. It's a smaller container from which to work.
But that's right. First of all, and by the way, before you even get to put things in the cart that will be scanned with Amazon Go, you had to and have to, because as you said, there are still locations that exist, just fewer of them. But you had to open an app to walk in the store, which for most people who are to the cashier is good, but then having to open an app and deal with whatever initial technology steps there are in order to get the whole thing to start, that was a bit of a setback. Also, the system was, considering Amazon's flexibility generally in many businesses, was surprisingly rigid. It depended on sensors everywhere. It still does in Amazon Go stores. And those sensors had to be on all the shelves and everything else. And if something was, and you probably know, having walked into a grocery store many times in your life, things get put back on the shelf in the wrong place, or they don't get put in the, you know, put on the right shelf. And the result is inventory issues were a nightmare. And then if anything changed from the system that was, for example, a new line of cereal came out, it was very hard for the system to adapt. Wegmans is counting on the idea that the cart, not the shelf, and certainly not the shopper, is going to be scanned. That was the other concern about Amazon Go, is you were watched. I mean, they had to, but you were watched as you shopped. And not only were you, basically charged when you picked out a product, guess what else? Your behavior was, and a lot of people had concerns about that. Again, Wegmans is working around that with the cart itself being the scanner.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. We're talking about smart shopping carts with Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It seems like the problem that grocery stores have been grappling with since time immemorial is, how do you get people through the checkout process faster? And we're about 20 years into the self-checkout machine experience. And one thing I have noticed, Paul, I don't know if you have the same issue that I do, that if I go through self-checkout, I'm probably twice as slow than if I go through a checkout lane that is manned by another person and someone bagging the groceries for you.
Yeah, that is true. You're also twice as profitable because there was no cashier to be paid to do that. Now, you know, look, the fact is that, yes, lines are the bane of everybody's existence, especially July 4th is obviously upon us. A lot of people going to get, oh, my God, I got to get charcoal for a barbecue, or I got to go get hot dogs, or whatever it is that most people want to go get on July 4th. Well, guess what? That's what you're going to see at the store. A gazillion people, mostly men, because they've been sent. By the way, this is data-based comment, not anecdotal. going, oh, my God, can you please go get the charcoal because we're out, or whatever. And so the point is that lots of people rush to stores at various moments, whether it's holiday or other, and you're exactly right. The line gets enormous. So whatever can speed that up is a winner as far as everybody's concerned. And back to your earliest point, Wegmans leads the way when it comes to innovation in many ways, both in the way they treat the customer and the way they treat pricing and so forth. They may well win on this one, too. We'll see what happens.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor of the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, we'll get some local job market insights and tips for job seekers.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We've talked about the jobs market on a national level early on, but what is the outlook here in Chicago? We welcome in Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And how does the Chicago jobs market stack up to the national unemployment or employment scene?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's better, but actually Chicago and the greater Chicagoland area tends to lag the rest of the large metropolitan areas in terms of coming back or having lower. They have a higher unemployment rate, and they have a slower, more stagnant pace of growth than the other large metropolitan area communities.
It's one thing, Rick, to talk about the macro employment picture. We can talk about the ADP report. We can talk about the government jobs report that came out this morning. We can talk about how hiring is strong across the country, or defied expectations, or is stronger than expected. But if you're looking right now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, what does this mean for me? And what does this mean for you if you're actually looking?
Well, first of all, ignore the news. The news isn't about you. The news is about a large number of people and sampling that population to make guesses. You're only one person. So what you can do to change your dynamic and your impact in the market is what you can do specifically yourself. That means going and networking with as many people as you can. But people don't understand networking. Networking isn't about just talking to a bunch of people or finding a way to get to somebody. It's building relationships with people and also being able to present yourself as someone who has previously solved problems someplace that you can articulate, here's what I did, here's how I did it, here's the number that was a result of me doing that job. And then making sure that when you talk to people, you're talking to them about what they're interested in, not what you're interested in. That's counterintuitive. I need a job. I need to make X amount of money. I need these benefits. I need these hours. They don't care about that. They care about what they need and they want. And you have to figure out how what you do can do fits with what they want and need. Otherwise, it's going to be the worst first date you ever had.
Well, that's a very good point that you mentioned, because I think a lot of people, when they talk about networking, it's you go to the breakfast, you go to the networking event, you set up something based on LinkedIn, and then you sit down, you have the conversation, you say, hey, are you hiring and can you hire me? And then to go back to that bad first date analogy, when they say, well, not right now, what do you do after that? And that there is just an ongoing rolling conversation.
Yeah, you have to build relationships with people. And one of the best ways to do that I think there was a book called Never Eat Alone, and it was about just paying it forward. Instead of worrying about yourself in these meetings, try to figure out how you can help the person that you're talking to. Again, completely counterintuitive, but I'm far more interested in you when you're interested in me. I'm far more interested in trying to do something for you if you can do something for me. So the ability to, and this an absurd example might be, someone's talking, I'm sorry, I'm late because my dog's sick. Hey, that's okay. I understand. I actually have a really good vet. If you don't have one, I know somebody who's really good. And connecting people on unrelated things to your conversation, but building relationships with them and then maintaining them. The other thing that's really important is people that know you best are counterintuitively sometimes the worst people to network with, because they know you really well. And therefore, they look at you in a very specific way. They don't know how to add benefits to you other than how they know you. And they're not, when they're talking to one of their friends, they're really talking to their friend. They're not talking for you. They're talking to their friend. So you become kind of a poker chip. You're much better to say, hey, Rob, are you comfortable with me using your name when I'm talking to people? And if you say yes, then I don't need you anymore to find people for me to meet. I'm going to use your name everywhere I can and hope that you'll back me up when they call you.
Good advice. Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. And we'll expand on some of these ideas coming up on At Issue later this month on WBBM.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.